Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, Oogie Boogie's bash is going quick after concept art is previewed, Dia de los Muertos merchandise has arrived,
Disney is looking for moms, ticket prices may be holding steady for a while, we talk about the D23 Expo and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Welcome to DL Weekly, a podcast about Walt's original Magic Kingdom, Disneyland. We cover the latest news and information from the resort, test our skills at trivia, and have a discussion about the parks every week. We invite you to send in your feedback and stories. Our contact information can be found at dlweekly.net. Now sit back, keep your hands and arms inside the podcast, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of August 21st, 2019. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We would like to send a shout out and a big thank you to all of our patrons, including Sandra A., Joy W., and Shelby R., for supporting the show. This support helps make DL Weekly possible. Our patrons get some pretty nice perks like access to our Discord chat, live shows, DL Weekly swag, and more. If you'd like to learn up more, please head over to dlweekly.net/support.
Well, the time is almost here. We will be at the D23 Expo this weekend and then at Disneyland the whole week after. If you see us in the parks, come and say hello. If you want to join us and other weekly tiers, we are planning a DL Weekly meetup at the Tongariro Terrace on Saturday, August 24th at 8 p.m. We hope to see you all there.
Well, have you booked your trip to the resort yet? If not, you should. Be sure to contact James and Mike over at Concierge, and they will take care of your entire vacation from beginning to end. And as an added bonus, you'll get a free year of touring plans. Why wait? Check them out at concierge.com.
Now let's get to the news. Well, as of the recording of this podcast on August 19th, there are four dates that have sold out for Oogie Boogie's Bash at Disney California Adventure: September 19th, 26th, 29th, and October 31st. If you're looking to get tickets for the remaining dates, you should consider booking soon. Tickets are $110 to $145 per person, with annual pass discounts available on some nights.
I'm so excited about this.
Well, you got a ticket for it.
Yep, I already have my ticket. One of our very generous listeners, is Alex, is going with me, which is even more exciting. I'm so thrilled. So thrilled. It's going to be so much fun.
Well, we'll talk about it here in a minute, but like, I'm very excited for some of the things that you're going to see there. I'm excited to see and hear back from you, of course, when you come back from your second trip that you'll be going for this.
I'll like FaceTime you while we're there.
Sure.
So you can pretend you're there too.
But for our listeners, you're obviously going to give us a whole recap
of
everything. Oh yes,
definitely. Definitely.
You're going to hear sold out by then.
All sorts of babbling from me and probably Alex about how excited we are with all the stuff that's going on.
I can't wait.
Well, for all guests attending the Oogie Boogie Bash, some new concept art has been released previewing what the new Treat Trails and Villains Grove experience will be like. The Treat Trails will include characters from Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland, Oogie Boogie from The Nightmare Before Christmas, and more. The Villains Grove will be a walkthrough experience at the Redwood Creek Challenge Trail. The concept art for the grove looks very spooky and fun, lit in blues, pinks, and purples.
This looks so cool. One of the things I actually saw in one of the articles today that I was reading about, they didn't have any like art or anything for it, but it was just there, was that they were going to have like the Hunchback as part of this.
Yes.
And the waterfall was going to look like fire.
Yep.
And so then I was looking at the actual concept art, and you know something I picked out of their concept art that I thought was cool?
What?
One of the projected things onto the ground in the concept art is one of those stained glass windows from Notre Dame. So I was like, oh yeah, some Notre Dame stuff's going to be in there.
Wow.
Because I thought it was just going to be Oogie Boogie and like Alice in Wonderland, because those things are like front and center in the concept art.
Yep, the Mad Hatter. And it's the live action Alice in Wonderland Mad Hatter.
Right, Tim Burton.
So yep. The Tim Burton Mad Hatter. So it looks so fun. You know, I have not been to a Halloween party that was over at the Disneyland Park.
Sure.
But it just seems to me like I feel like they're pulling all the stops out for this one. There's so much extra stuff that they seem to be creating just for this Oogie Boogie Bash. And they're really like amping it up. It's going to be so fun.
It is going to be super cool. I am very excited to see what they have and again hear from you.
Yeah, my worry about this is that I'm not going to have enough time to experience all these things properly. So
you need another night of
The Bash. I just need to live there, apparently.
Well, not only is Disneyland celebrating Halloween, but there's also a few items that celebrate the Dia de los Muertos holiday. New Minnie ears and a standard ear hat have hit the shelves at the park. The Minnie ears have colorful skulls, floral designs, flowers along the top, and a large bow with cutout designs, kind of like the Papel Picado design. The ear hat says Dia de los Muertos Celebración on the ears and has a top hat, flowers, and a large colorful skull on the front of a black cap with a purple band.
So we all know how I feel about ears in general. So I want to ask you, since I'm really excited that they've started coming out with more ear hat designs than just the typical headband designs. So what did you think about the Dia de los Muertos ears hat?
I like them both, but like the one that I guess you would consider like the guy's hat, the like hat, not the mini band. I really like it. It's, you know me, I love purple. I love top hats. I don't know if you knew that. So this kind of is pretty neat. And I love how colorful it is. And of course, it really brings that same kind of feel. Obviously, Coco happened during Dia de los Muertos, so it kind of has that Coco feel, obviously, from it. And I'd get one of these. I like it. I think it's super cool. I'm actually interested to see people walk around the parks wearing these.
So the thing that I found really interesting, don't get me wrong, I'm still very, very excited about these ears.
Sure.
But the thing I found interesting is they reminded me of two sets of ears that we've seen before. One set that I already own and one that you own already. So to me, the mini headband looks a lot like the Coco ears that we saw. Was that just last year or is that a couple years ago? But the Coco ears that were just recently at the parks. And the Mickey hat that has the little top hat reminds me actually a lot of the Hatbox Ghost style.
Oh, yeah.
Of ear hat that we've seen before.
From the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, from the Haunted Mansion, which, don't get me wrong, I'm very, very excited about both of them, and I will probably own the mini headband soon. Don't know if it will be coming home this trip or possibly next trip since it's going to be closer to Halloween, but I love, love, love that. And I could see you rocking the skull version of the Mickey hat.
I do like it, although we have talked so many times on the show about all the cool merchandise there. I feel like it's going to be so hard to pick without putting myself in the poorhouse.
Well, see, this is the other thing, though. It's all about what's available when we're there.
Well, that's
true. So we see all these amazing things, but it could be sold out when we're there.
You know, speaking of things that we've talked about that are not available at the parks anymore, when I was reading today, do you know what they don't have at the parks anymore that I think was even on our food list?
Uh-oh, what?
They don't have the watermelon mint julep anymore.
Really?
It's been replaced by one I think we'll talk about later.
I was going to say they've got that new one now, though, so...
I love watermelon, so I was hoping. Apparently it didn't last very long.
Well, attention all moms. Disney is looking for the next members of the Disney Parks Moms Panel for 2020, starting on September 5th at noon Eastern Time and ending on September 12th at noon Eastern Time. You can apply to be on the panel. Applicants will be selected based on their personal experiences with various Disney destinations and their ability to communicate Disney knowledge to others in an easy and fun way. To find out more and to apply, head on over to momspanelsearch.com. That's momspanelsearch.com. I can think of a couple weekly tiers that we chat with and that we've communicated with that I think would be such fun Disney Park Mom panel people. And I really hope, wouldn't that be amazing if one of our weekly tiers applied and got in on it? I think that'd be so, so much fun. It sounds to me like it is a lot of work, but it's also a lot of fun.
I feel like if you're already a giant Disney Parks fan and you already kind of do this anyway,
right?
The stuff that can come from this that you get directly from Disney, I think would be super awesome. I've been seeing online, of course, we've been, you know, as we look for news and stuff online, I keep seeing more and more things that reference the Disney Parks Moms panel. The Disney Parks blog talks about them a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so, I mean, Teresa, you just got to have a child and you could be on this panel. You would be really great on this panel. You'd love to be on this panel.
I'd be the Disney not mom.
But you'd be like all about this.
Oh God, I would love this. The other thing that I'm really hoping for, that not only it would be so awesome if one of our weekly tier moms was able to become part of the panel, I really think that Disneyland needs more representation on the parks panel, because it's very, very heavy Disney World centered people.
Right.
So come on, Disneyland.
Well, they do say one of the things that is like a prerequisite, I guess, for getting on this is having experience at multiple places.
Yes. Yep.
So I think Disney World, they talk about, because obviously like it's the most visited place on Earth or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. Disneyland needs some more representation for sure. Well, beginning August 25th, annual pass holders will have access to Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout for an extended period from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. daily through September 1st. You just need to show your pass at the attraction and you can ride. You'll also receive a special lithograph while supplies last.
I don't know why, but this is very intriguing to me. We were talking about this before the podcast because I was strangely excited about this. Just the fact that there is, you know, an hour set aside each night. Unfortunately, it is late, but there is an hour set aside each night that it sounds to me that only annual pass holders are going to be allowed during this hour.
Yep, the parks close at 9, or at California Adventure closes at 9.
Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting to me that annual pass holders are getting this extra perk that you are the only people that are able to enjoy this attraction at this time. And then you top that off with a special lithograph. Like, this is very cool, but I'm also very curious about it. I don't know why. It's intriguing.
Well, I think it's something to get annual pass holders kind of excited about the park, because I feel like, you know, I feel like there's a subset of annual pass holders who, because prices have gone up and stuff, that they like aren't seeing as much of a value.
Sure.
So maybe they're trying to add some things that really doesn't take a lot of effort, but might be really appreciated.
Well, and it's something to get excited about too.
That's true. They did also do this. You might, if you've been listening to the show, you might remember that they did something like this with Soarin' Over California back in, I think, June, that they had an extra little bit of time for annual pass holders. So it's not the first time. So I'm wondering if they're trying to see if this is successful, and maybe they'll do something like the early morning hours that they used to do, where like certain lands will be open to annual pass holders after hours or before the park opens, something like that. Because that'd be a cool little perk.
That it would.
And you would be able to do it because you are an annual pass holder soon.
By the end of next week,
yeah, I will be
a first time annual pass holder. Then
you got to get one of those AP magnets that everybody's talking about.
We'll have to see if the AP corner is still up and running while we're there.
It should be.
Well, Disney CEO Bob Iger, in an interview with CNBC this week, stated that he doesn't think that the parks have a pricing issue. However, they will not be raising the prices at the parks anytime soon. Iger also stated that a number of things led to the lower attendance at Disneyland following the launch of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, including the fears of large crowds, only having the one attraction opening with the new land, and area hotels also raising their prices.
So this was really interesting. It was literally... we've linked it in our show notes if you actually want to see the interview. It's very interesting. It's a very short piece of a larger interview. And basically, the interviewer asks, you know, people have said that, you know, attendance has been kind of soft at Disneyland. You know, you've got this new land in the park. What has caused this? And at first, it's interesting because if you just cut off at the beginning, he basically says that, you know, people have kind of taken advantage of it in the hotels. He was kind of blaming the hotels in the area, you know, that they thought there was going to be a lot of people coming. So they jacked up their prices and that kind of scared people away. And almost as like an afterthought, like maybe like he just kind of stepped into it accidentally. He's like, you know, he kind of says that they've also raised prices, but they don't think that they'll be raising them anytime soon because they think they've kind of... Because the question was, have you saturated have you maxed out your cost of your tickets? Mm. And his response was basically, no, we don't think so, but we're not going to go any higher, which kind of seems, you know, we talked about that on last week's episode, mm-hmm. I think, that we were saying that go get your tickets now because they might go up next year.
Yep.
But this might be the first time in a while that they don't do it, that they don't raise the prices at the beginning of the year like they have recently. So I'm interested to see how this all shakes out. I'm glad that the price might have stabilized for a while because I know that that's something that families have been really struggling with, is it's so much more expensive now. In fact, later on,
we'll talk just how much of a difference it's
It's amazing we have all these stories that kind of link together this week.
Not even on purpose. That was just kind of how it went.
What do you think about his comments?
So I don't think he's wrong. I've been feeling that for a long time because I know you and I were talking about how excited we were to go check out this new land. But, you know, and I feel like a lot of people felt this way, that it was just going to be a nut house. So
well,
I
we
do
reported
think,
on that.
Yep. I do think a lot of people were trying to avoid the crowds and... So many people avoided the crowds that the crowds never appeared.
Right.
So I just think it was a perfect storm of things. I think it was a lot to do with people's fear of huge, huge crowds. Obviously, having cast member and AP blackouts that allows a lot of people, you know, that normally would be in the parks are now not in the parks. The other thing, too, last summer we were talking about this. It was they had lower attendance during the summer, and it was actually very open. And it might just be the heat. It might be the... You do have the peak season pricing going on too.
Right.
Plus add in the fact that the area hotels all increase their prices. Unfortunately, I'm not surprised. I don't really think that some people are saying that the new land that Star Wars Galaxy's Edge is a quote unquote flop. I don't think that's the case.
I think we'll find out this week for sure, because all the annual pass holders are getting
unblocked. That's true. I think, exactly. I think we'll find more out about how popular, you know, how good or not good the new land is, but I don't quite think that's it yet.
But I think you're right. I think it's the combination pricing, expected crowd levels that never materialized, because that's, you know, I know there's, I have friends that don't like Disney parks in general because they think they're always crowded and they don't want to deal with that and they have to pay so much, you know, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But also, I mean, a big one for me, like if we weren't doing D23, I would probably vote for us to wait till Rise of the Resistance opens because I'd like to see the fully completed land. And I think I talked about this before on the show that I was very disappointed when they said the other one was going to open later.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it just seems like they jumped the gun. I don't know. I feel like they needed to do it, but I wish that they would have held off and opened everything at the same time.
Yeah, I am glad that they did pump the brakes when they realized that they were having issues with the attraction and that they didn't just try to get it to be good enough and then we'd be experiencing all sorts of, you know, who knows, I could have been stuck on that new ride. That would have been fun. But I could have been stuck in the middle of the fight scenes or whatever. That would have been actually, anyways, moving on. So distracting my own self here. But you know, so I am glad that they are taking the time to do it properly. And so that when it does open, it will hopefully go, fingers crossed, without a hitch.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm interested to see, too, because coming up at the end of our trip will be the official opening of Galaxy's Edge out in Hollywood Studios. So it'll be interesting to see how everything kind of works out there, because their demographics for visitors is a little different than California's. So it'll be interesting to see the differences and the similarities between the two and kind of what they've learned from California and launching something very similar. I say very similar because that was another article I read today, was that I couldn't find anybody who had specific details, but they were like, it's not identical to the one in California. Because, you know, the whole thing was that they were supposed to be identical.
Yep. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, the Lucky Fortune Cookery has updated their menu recently. The new menu does away with a lot of the customization of the old menu and offers standard meals like teriyaki chicken, pork ramen, beef bulgogi wraps, and more. Hot green tea and Vietnamese iced coffee also join the menu under the drinks.
So have you... I personally have never eaten at the Lucky Fortune Cookery. Is that someplace you've checked out? I do know we have a lot of supporters that were fans and were a little nervous about the menu changes that we had talked about previously.
It's kind of weird. That area of California Adventure where the Lucky Fortune Cookery is.
I call it a food court, but yes.
It is. But like, for some reason, I just don't find myself over there very often.
Yeah.
And the couple times I've ended up over there, I've gotten the bread bowl.
That's true. The last time we were there, the only reason we were there is because Vern had gotten a turkey leg and then we went over there just to have a place to sit.
They do have good seating.
While he enjoyed his turkey leg goodness. Mobile ordering continues to expand to more and more locations around the resort. The Golden Horseshoe is the latest addition. Through the app, you can order Golden Horseshoe staples like fish and chips, wings, loaded potato skins, and more.
I feel like we're quickly getting to a position where everywhere is going to have mobile ordering. So I think going forward, it's just going to be, you know, fairly frequent that they're going to be adding these things.
Too.
I think it just takes time to make sure it's all built in the system correctly. Mm-hmm. There aren't any bugs. One of the things that in our chat we talked about this week when we talked about mobile ordering is the fact that some places don't have a very good like standby area. So like when you place the food, you don't really have a good spot to kind of wait for it. Mm-hmm. And some of the places actually have poor wireless internet reception. So whether it's your phone or a Wi-Fi access point, it's very bad. So you have to like say you're there when you're not even there yet because you don't have a signal.
It was someplace in California Adventure that they had said that they had to say, mark that they were there and then walk over to where the restaurant was because they did not actually have service at the restaurant.
Yeah, I don't remember where it was. But
I don't either.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that I'm kind of interested in is with mobile ordering in general is, and we'll get to know more about mobile ordering because we're going to be experiencing it later this week and next week.
Oh, jeez.
I'm so excited. But is like, to me, when I think of the Golden Horseshoe, that seems more like a, I mean, I know it's a like a counter service thing, but it also feels a little bit more like sit-down restaurant-y to me, too. So I'm wondering, is the full, you know, are all of these locations, is the full menu available, or do they, maybe some of these locations only have some things on mobile ordering?
I feel like they have everything. I haven't heard that there was not everything at the different locations.
The Dole Whip stand.
Yeah.
Obviously everything, because there's only two things there.
Sure.
And it's even like Bengal Barbecue, because that was just walk up, get it and go kind of stuff. But like I said, I feel like this is, it's not a sit down place like the Blue Bayou. I don't think we'll ever see it there. But like Rancho del Zocalo, will we ever see, you know, will they kind of do some form of mobile ordering there so you could grab and go dishes them?
Some of those locations like Rancho Zocalo and the French Market in New Orleans Square are two things that like pop into my head right away. The Plaza Inn might be something like that too, where when you go in, you don't pay till you're at the end, you know, because you can grab different food items like to the thing. So I feel like mobile ordering doesn't necessarily work there because you're not going up to a counter and picking something up.
Right. But my question is, are they going to change it slightly so that you can grab and go?
I feel like that would be challenging.
I'm curious to see what happens.
Yeah, me too. Because
I feel like mobile ordering is going to do one of two things. Basically, all quick service restaurants are just going to become mobile ordering places, or they're going to kind of do that. That might be phase one, and maybe they're going to do some more stuff down the road. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. Well, in the long line of new refreshing beverages that have come to the resort this summer, the Honeydew Agua Fresca is the newest member. The drink is a mix of honeydew and lime flavors that isn't too sweet. It's available at Rancho del Zocalo for $5.99.
So this is going to be added to my list of things that I want to try. I don't know. This just sounds...
I love honeydew.
That's why I want to try it. It's very unique sounding to me. I've never had a honeydew frozen slushy looking treat before. And I think it'll be very refreshing.
One of the things that the Disney food blog was talking about in their review of this drink was the fact that that honeydew is very sweet usually. Mm-hmm. So the lime is supposed to like cut the sweetness down. So it's not going to be like a heavy lime flavor, but it cuts the sweetness, I think.
This was very shocking to me. According to the Disney food blog, this drink is made with the fruit, so honeydew, sugar and water. And then sometimes they add seeds or flowers to kind of, you know, give it a little garnish. But I thought it was very, very interesting that it's a very basic recipe. It's not something that's, I don't know, overprocessed, high fructose corn syrup, and just,
well, because honeydew is
honeydew
so sweet.
Flavoring, you know, like honeydew flavoring syrup, you know, kind of like how if you get strawberry ice cream, you don't necessarily have strawberries in your ice cream. It's just, you know, the flavoring for
right.
it. So I think that's why I'm very interested, since it's basically
I will try a sip of
fruit.
Yours. I don't think I'd order one totally for myself, but I may be persuaded
You may be changed. Well, the refurbishment of the red car trolley at DCA has been extended. Disney has updated the calendar for the attraction and shows it down through 2020. The trolley was previously scheduled to reopen sometime in 2020, most likely with the opening of Marvelland next summer. There doesn't seem to be any indications that it is going to Yesterland just yet, as the stations are currently getting upgrades during the downtime.
Yeah, so some people were getting concerned because usually when things They've done this before where they've said an attraction is under refurbishment and they keep extending it out, mm-hmm. and then it just never comes back.
Yeah.
Rocket Rods was like that. They kept saying it was going to return, and years and years later, it still hasn't returned. So this is definitely one of those things where I think it is coming back. I also would find it hard to believe that they would get rid of this because of the fact that it just, I mean, it's less than 10 years old.
Right.
And it's kind of a kinetic part of Buena Vista Street that's mm-hmm. kind of needed there. So,
well, just think of, so, you know, Buena Vista Street basically is Main Street USA for
yeah.
our sister park or whatever you want to call it, sure. DCA. So I couldn't imagine there's, so think of all the different moving things on Main Street. So many different things. So I don't want them to do so, but say they get rid of one of those moving attraction, one of the cars or something.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't be as impactful as them getting rid of the red car trolley, because that's really the only thing that a visitor can ride up and down that street. So it would feel very, I don't know, a little empty, I guess, to me, yep. if the trolley wasn't there anymore. Yep.
Well, then, of course, the red car trolley boys, newsboys thing would not come back either, because that's what they used to right, kind of perform. Yeah. Well, although we're not certain why, Frozen Live at the Hyperion has cut back to just one performance a day. Previously, the show played several times throughout the day. Currently, it's scheduled for 1 5 p.m. showing. No word on if this is part of the entertainment staffing cuts, the show's popularity waning, or something else.
Yeah, I'm curious to kind of learn more about this, too, because you're right. It played multiple times, so I don't know. The one time that I did go attend it, it was very well attended. It was packed in there,
yeah.
So I don't know.
One of the comments I saw about this story online that I thought was funny was, it was just like, it just reminded me of things I can see people saying, never had this problem with Aladdin.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's definitely, and we've talked about this before, it is a different type of show than
That's
Aladdin.
True.
Aladdin was, they built that show in a way to keep you coming back
yeah.
because of the genie.
Right.
And we got to talk to our friend, the genie, Dylan, about his time on that stage performing. And I just always thought that was so cool that that part had the liberty to kind of do what they wanted to do. And he was basically a stand-up comedian. Whereas there's a little bit of that in Frozen, but sure. not to the same extent.
Sure. I will tell you, I'm sure everybody on the podcast knows, because I think I've mentioned it before, I'm not a huge Frozen fan.
No, you
but,
don't say.
I am interested to watch this show because I think technically it could be very cool. So kind of like we had a talk in the chat this week about how, and actually from the episode last week, that you can enjoy something like Galaxy's Edge if you're not like a Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
I feel like I will enjoy Frozen as not a Frozen fan, but just because of the technical stuff that they bring to the show. One thing that always amazes me that it ever goes off of at all is that costume changes
yes.
in Frozen. I am really excited to see that. Plus, I'm really excited because they have that giant projection screen that's the background, and they use that kind of as a set piece. So I'm very excited to see that, because I think technically it's a cool show,
mm-hmm.
And I want to see all this stuff in person. The story that goes with that technology maybe is not as exciting to me, but I know there's lots of fans out there.
It reminds me, it's a more Broadway caliber feeling than Aladdin was.
Really?
Aladdin was very,
Aladdin was pretty Broadway.
Aladdin was very Broadway feeling, but it has more bells and whistles, I guess would be a good way of explaining the difference.
Well, I'm very excited.
And that
to
might
see
just
it.
Be the technology changes, you know, that sort of thing. But
yep.
there was a lot more like amazing things in there. I mean, not much beats having a magic carpet flying
sure.
over the audience, but there was a lot of very cool things that they do with it.
So are you excited to see it a second time?
You know, I am, because just because this is going to sound silly, just because of the fact of where we sat last time. So when we went, we actually went with some listeners, and we were lucky enough to actually sit on the floor. We were like two or three rows back.
Oh, wow. I've never sat there.
Yeah. So we were two or three rows back, and it was kind of more to the side. So it was a different perspective
sure.
than if you were halfway, you know, I don't know, in the balcony, in the
sure.
center or whatever. So I'm just excited to see the show from a different angle, because like I said, we did have a very unique look at the show there. So it'll be fun.
Yeah. I think I've only sat in the balcony level of the Hyperion Theater once. Generally, I'm in the balcony because I like sitting in the balcony. I like being up and seeing everything.
Sure. Yeah.
Well,
and this one was cool yeah. because not only were there things going on with the projections on the stage back, but it kind of also like they did projections around too. Well, without giving too much away.
I'm very excited to see this now.
Well, in a move that some have felt was very long overdue, the rock work around the entrance to Tomorrowland is starting to be removed. As with the other projects that have been happening around the park, this is part of what is left of Project Stardust. The curb in the area is also being lowered to match the rest of the hub and to make the area more accessible and friendly to higher crowds.
There's two things I'm very excited. Well, one thing I'm sort of excited about. But I'm really excited that these stupid rocks are going away because you were talking about Project Stardust stuff and you're talking about things that make bottlenecks, I felt like this was always that because back in the day, I remember before they did this remodel in the late 90s, it was a lot easier to get in and out of Tomorrowland.
Yes.
And I feel like it is a spot that is very challenging to get around. The thing I'm excited about but also sad is that there's rumors that the next step of this process is getting rid of the people mover track, which I think is overdue and needed, but it quashes any hope that it would ever come back. And I already know from interviews with Tony Baxter that it's never coming back. But alas.
Moment of silence for the people mover tracks.
I will be wearing my Have Your People Call My People shirt in the park.
I wish I could have taken a picture of Tag just then with your...
having a moment of silence?
He was having a moment. I'm not getting myself too excited about this yet.
Okay. Why? Aren't you excited to have it opened up so you can move around?
I am excited. But do we know for certain that all of the rocks are going, or are they just scaling the rocks back?
It has not been confirmed by Disney what they're doing, but I assume that they would, even if they scaled them back, I think it's in the right direction.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. So I'm not rejoicing that the rocks are gone because I'm not convinced that they're going to be 100% sure. Gone. Yes, I do definitely agree. And I'm sure we talked about it before with this whole Project Stardust movement. It really didn't make sense that they weren't doing anything over there. But now it does make sense to me that this was kind of the last piece of the puzzle because this was really kind of the biggest piece because
sure.
Everything else was, you know, a planter here or whatever. This sure. is the entrance, a main entrance to the land off the hub. The one thing that is a little difficult right now is with the return of a very popular nighttime parade, the Main Street Electrical Parade. Mm. This area has become even more congested and more bottlenecked because of the construction walls that are up around there. So if you're
avoid
going to be
area.
In the park, try and avoid that area
during the parade.
Particularly during the parades, because it does get a little congested. They did try to move the pedestrian crossing areas, you know, the parade crossing areas down and away from there.
Sure.
So that has helped some, but it is still a little bottlenecked. So kind of, if you need to, try and go the long way around.
I'm just sad that we will be there and it probably will not be completed by the time we're done going there.
You
maybe when you're
going
there.
You to, like, rejoice that you can see them, like, taking it away?
Oh, I suppose. Like, I get to watch it go
you
away.
You get to watch it, watch the walls come down.
I spit on your grave.
Tag's going to be trying to, like, steal a piece of...
No, I don't want a piece of the rock. Well, Teresa, if you won a prize from Disneyland, would you wait 30 years to collect it?
You know... We'll talk about that when we're done.
Okay. Well, I sure wouldn't. But Tamia Richardson from Eddington, Alberta, Canada, won free tickets as part of Disneyland's 30th anniversary, which gave away a different prize for every 30 guests who entered the park. Tamia won a pair of tickets when she was only 14 years old. Ticket prices were only $16.50 back then. So it's a great deal that she waited the 30 years because now it's worth a couple hundred bucks per ticket.
That's why I said we'll answer at the end because... My initial response, if I won a prize from Disneyland, would I wait 30 years? No, I would not be able to wait 30 years. You know how excited I get about these things.
Right.
However, if I could tell the future and knew that my $16 ticket was going to be worth a couple hundred dollars
sure.
almost later, if I just bide my time, it doesn't say I can't go to Disneyland in the time in between.
I feel like nowadays they like put in the like terms that like you
they
have
probably,
to use
yeah,
it at a certain amount
do.
Of time. Can you imagine working at the ticket booth and she comes up and is like, hi, I have this thing I won 30 years ago.
That poor cast member probably wasn't sure what to do with them. I mean, how would you even know that it was real or not?
I wonder how many managers this had to go through before somebody got allowed in.
I'm sure quite a bit. I'm sure it was a very big process. However, I am very happy that they still honored it and didn't just say, sorry, it's been too long. So that was very cool.
Yeah, when she won this, it was, I'm trying to think of how to like phrase this, but basically
it's been 1 year old.
It's
that
been,
is when she won it.
Well, it's been longer now from when she won it to now than Disneyland was old when she won it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Do you get what I'm saying? Like over half of Disneyland's lifespan, because it was 35 years. There's been more years between mm-hmm. when she won this and now than there were before when the park, from the park opening to when she won it. So that's crazy.
So she won this at the 30th anniversary, but used it when the park was actually turned 64.
Yeah.
I'm impressed that she didn't lose them too.
Right? Or just like, I don't know, I feel like maybe I would have hung on to them for a little while, but I mean, that's a long time.
Yeah.
I wonder if she like moved or something and then like came across
maybe.
It.
Maybe.
You know what? Here's what I think might have happened. I don't know. And I don't even know why I'm talking about this.
This is your speculation.
But she probably found them, called guest relations because she's coming from Canada.
Yeah.
And she probably was like, I got these tickets. And then somebody probably got back to her and gave her the right thing.
Sure.
Because I can't imagine that you would just be like, well, let's hope. And you go all the way from Canada.
Let's see what happens. Yeah. That you're probably right. Well, it isn't even September, and we're already getting a preview of some of the merchandise coming to the parks for the winter holiday season. The Christmas tree popcorn bucket will be coming, along with a Mickey ornament sipper, which looks like a red Mickey ornament that you might put on the Christmas tree, except it's a sipper. Buffalo plaid, gingerbread, and peppermint mini ears will also be available.
I cannot believe, I mean, I can, now that we've been reporting news for long enough, like the fact
it
that this
still
is,
makes me sad. I want to let me get through some of Halloween at least.
Right. the popcorn bucket looks good. The mini ornament sipper, I feel like is going to be awkward to like hold on to and use because it's all ornament round looking. And I think my favorite of the mini ears is the gingerbread because instead of it just being plain circles for Mickey, it's actually Mickey gingerbread ears.
Yeah, it's like Mickey head cutouts for the ears.
I love it.
So your ears have ears.
I love it. What's your favorite?
I think my favorite's probably the classic peppermint swirl ears.
Yeah. So are those next on your list of ears that you need to get?
That list just keeps growing.
You're going to need a room dedicated just to ears.
You know, my social media has apparently learned things about me because it is now giving me ads of these special ear holder display things that I can mount on my wall or put on my dresser.
Have you found any that you're going to get?
They're tempting. They are very, very tempting.
You're going to need them. I'm just saying.
Vern's going to banish my ear collection. It's going to have yets. I'm going to have a separate, this is my ear/soap room.
Oh, well, you were already talking tonight. We were going through stuff for perks to send out. And you're like, I need a whole separate section for DL Weekly perk stuff.
Yeah, I already need like a DL Weekly closet of stuff. Oh, yeah.
Well, this coming weekend is the D23 Expo. If you're going to be at the Expo, make sure to look for us, but also stop on by booth 315E to say hello to our friends over at the Sweep Spot, who are on our 50th episode to talk about the 50th anniversary of Disneyland. I am also excited because I will be stopping by to see them because I'm going to buy their new book.
New book, yes, definitely.
Because I get it signed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited. Well,
I'm very excited to meet these guys too.
I am too. So it keeps reminding me that these little things that the Expo, we're going to be able to meet a bunch of people. Although Teresa, unfortunately, the very first thing she tried to do for both of us was to get...
we'll get into that because that is our discussion topic.
Oh, but still, Tony Baxter. Oh, Tony Baxter. I'm so sad. Anyway.
Well, now we're going to take a trip over to Trivia Land where Vern is actually going to try to stump us with some Disney trivia this week. Vern's going to read us the question. We're going to attempt to answer them, and then Vern will give us the correct answers after the discussion topic. So what do you have for us this week, Vern?
Okay, I didn't take a ton of time to put anything together, but hopefully I was able to find something good for you. At least they stumped the heck out of me. So here we go. For the first one. In 1956, the Missouri State Legislature officially annexed and recognized what portion of Disneyland?
I'm going to say, what was the state again?
Missouri.
I want to say it's going to be some part of Frontierland, would be my guess. I'm going to say some part of... Oh, geez. I don't know. Some part of Tom Sawyer Island.
Oh, I was just going to say Tom Sawyer, the island, period. We're probably totally wrong.
Well, we'll find out. All right. Question two.
What do these things have in common? False teeth, a prosthetic limb, a glass eye, toupees, a waterbed, and a canary.
They're all things.
This has to do with Disney?
Yes, yes, I promise you. This is, it's in little known facts about well known places, Disneyland.
No, this is good. Can you read the list again?
Yes. What do these things have in common? False teeth, a prosthetic limb, a glass eye, toupees, a waterbed, and a canary.
I feel like I have a guess, except for the waterbed. I'm just going to go crazy and say things that you would find in the in Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's funny, because I was thinking something the same. I was thinking that it had to do with animatronics, and I was leaning towards animatronics specifically. Yeah, in, I don't know why pirates. Maybe it's the glass eye.
You know what? Maybe they were all in the Carousel of Progress. Because I could see a waterbed being part of the Carousel of Progress show.
Oh, that's a good... So are you going to go Carousel of Progress then?
Yes.
Okay, I'll stick with pirates.
Okay. Question three.
In the beginning, only one of the horses on King Arthur's carousel was white. What colors are they now?
Aren't they all white? I think they're all white. Because wasn't that one of the things was like... Because the white one was like the fancy one or something, and they wanted all of them to feel fancy, so they're all white? Trick question, maybe? That's what I'm going with.
I'm having a hard time because all I can think of is the carousel horses from the movie Mary Poppins being like the pastel kind of like the there was a purple one and there was an orange one. I don't think that's... So Jingles is white.
Yep.
I don't think I remember seeing like a dark colored horse, but I also don't think they were all exactly the same base color. I could be wrong. I'm going to say white and tan and light gray.
Because, see, I was thinking that, like, the color...
That's a good story behind it. I like your story behind it. I like the why.
Well, because I was thinking that... Because I think that the only thing that's different between the horses, I think, like, their saddle and stuff. Yeah.
That could be. You probably are right.
All right. What's the fourth question that we're going to be stumped on today?
Where does Mickey Mouse rank in most recognized character in the world?
Oh.
I'm going to say he's number one. I think he's the most recognized character in the world.
I think he's like number two after like Santa Claus.
Nope, I'm saying number one.
Okay.
Beats Santa.
Well, I'm sure, well, you're getting coal for Christmas. All right, well, stay tuned for the correct answers at the end of the show.
Well, as some of you may have guessed, because I know we don't talk about it ever.
Never.
Never, ever. We are going to the D23 Expo later this week.
We are.
In fact, by the time that this hits the air, we will be getting on a plane tomorrow.
Yeah.
And yeah, and the expo starts on Friday. So we're incredibly excited. So we're just going to kind of chat about our experience thus far with the expo, the whole like sign up process. We're going to talk about things that we're excited to do, you know, different, I don't know, just kind of talk about how we're feeling about the expo because we're very, very excited and really want to share that with you guys.
Can we start at the beginning?
Sure. Let's start at the beginning.
So about a little under a year ago now, the podcast, we purchased a family membership for D23 mm-hmm. because it was going to be the two of us and producer James and Vern going to the park and a family membership for, and then you can get discounted D23 tickets and stuff through that.
Perfect.
So we did that, and we got all of our cool Mickey stuff that we've shown off on the show before that we have on our set, and a bunch of cool stuff for becoming a D23 member.
Yeah, now, so for those of you that aren't aware, when you become a member of D23 is the official Disney fan club. They do send you this really cool member gift every year.
Yep.
And so last year it was all about Mickey since it was Mickey's 90th, so we got all sorts of really cool way more stuff than I would have thought.
Yeah.
We got a ton of really cool, a lot of paper products. There was posters and even there were some napkins and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
This year they are celebrating their 10-year anniversary. So I did share on our social media what the gift was this year because Tag actually for my birthday bought me my own membership.
Plus, you get the quarterly publication. And I had been really bad with our membership because I still have not finished reading the latest one that we got. And usually I would read them very quickly and give them to you.
I haven't read any of them. They're all sitting in a pile here. So,
Teresa, I'm sitting here feeling all this guilt. And you're like, I haven't even read any of them.
Anyways, we don't need to put any of that in the podcast. You can leave the gift. Anyways, so I shared on social media what the pins for this year look. They are
amazing.
So awesome. So, so awesome. Basically, if you haven't seen photos or haven't heard anything about them, like I said, D23 is celebrating their 10-year anniversary. And so the pins that are all included, I want to say I didn't count them. I'm going to say there's like they're like 8 or 10 pins. There might be more. There are these really beautiful pins for all other things
they're
Disney
large.
Related that are also celebrating big milestone anniversaries this year. So one of them, there is one that's for the movie Up because that's also celebrating a 10-year anniversary this year. Of course, the Haunted Mansion celebrating its 50th anniversary and so on and so forth. But they're golden colored pins. They're very, very gorgeous. So honestly, if you're a big Disney fan, this just becoming a member of this club is actually you get quite a lot for being a member of this club, which I was very surprised, pleasantly surprised to find that out.
Well, so first of all, there's 10 pins. And if you look at pictures of them online, they look like normal size pins, but these are actually a little bit bigger.
Pretty big.
And Teresa is absolutely right. You get a lot of great value from this. They did raise the price for the first time in 10 years this year for new memberships. Now, one cool thing that comes with D23, if you are in kind of a metro area, so like in our area, Chicago is the closest thing most of the time. I think they've had a couple things in Minneapolis, but Chicago is kind of their main hub. Mm-hmm. But a lot of stuff in California too, they offer a lot of free stuff. So like, for instance, one that I remember is like when Mary Poppins came out, they had a D23 member showing that was free. You just had to sign up for it and you got to see the movie for free.
Yeah, I've also seen that they have different D23 exclusive tours of like the Walt Disney Studios or the Family Museum, you know, that sort of thing too. So it's really cool. It's more than, it's definitely a, I don't know, more involved than, much more than what I thought it was. I kind of just thought it was something that you did if you went to the expos. I don't know. I guess I never really had looked into it
before. I honestly think that it's for a Disney thing, right? You know, usually you pay a premium because it's Disney and you get something and, you know, people get a good value out of it. But I feel like this is a really good value because if you take full advantage, you could make out really well. If you could make it, if you're in an area where you can make it to a lot of these events, that's really worth it because a lot of these things are either heavily discounted or free. Like the movie thing is free, and buying a movie ticket in Chicago is like $12. So if you, and you can bring whoever, so like the family membership that we have, you can bring you plus three guests. You have the individual membership, so it's you.
You and one guest.
Yeah. So, and then of course, because of D23, the expo, you also get discounted tickets for that as well. So it's, I think we've, it's easily for me at least, and I'm sure, I mean, I feel like it's paid for itself for sure.
Definitely with our, especially since we're doing the expo this year, definitely. We unfortunately haven't been able to take part in some of the extra little events and meetups and whatever that they've got just because they haven't been close by or we haven't taken the time to travel to them, that sort of thing. But yeah, it's very, very cool.
So
getting back to the expo.
Right, but for people who may not know, what is the expo? So the D23 Expo is held every other year, so it's not something that's held every year. It is held in the Anaheim Convention Center, which is across the street from Disneyland. And basically, it is the thing that a lot of people that you want to meet in the Disney universe, so people that have been on TV shows, people who have created a lot of stuff that are well-known Disney things.
Imagineers,
artists, people that have composed music for various films and stuff, directors, actors. They all, this is a good spot to find them. There's also creators are there, like we mentioned earlier in the show, with Lynn and Ken over at the Sweep Spot. So you get to see people like that. Obviously, we're going to be there wandering around.
Mice Chat has a booth.
Mice Chat.
All sorts of stuff.
Cool stuff. You can get signatures from people. There's obviously all the presentations and panels. The one of the ones that we're going to that we're really excited about is the Parks panel, which is going to talk about kind of announcements of what's coming to the parks. A couple years ago, that's where, was it that year? The 2015 Expo is where they announced Galaxy's Edge.
So lots of very exciting things. So, kind of the whole process. So I'm trying to remember how long ago We basically bought our tickets to the expo
right after they went on sale. Yeah.
That they went on sale. We were very, very excited. The expo has now, since then, sold out. The 3-day passes, I think, sold out fairly quickly. Yeah. Saturday sold out almost right away. And then they just recently sold out both their Friday only and Sunday only tickets.
Yep.
So you can choose to go 3 days, which is what Tag and I are doing, or you can choose to just go, you know, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. So you don't have to do the full expo if you don't want to. Each of the days are pretty darn packed with stuff.
Well, that's the challenge, right?
Yeah, that's the hard part. So it seems like the expo doors open about 9:30, and they are going until like almost 7 p.m. it seemed like. So it's a long day, just packed with all things Disney. You can kind of choose to do as little or as much as you want. I easily, just by the little brief things, I feel like we just know like the scratching of the surface.
Oh, yeah.
Of stuff that's going to be available to us. We're not going to know the full extent until we walk in the doors. Of course, all of the panels and everything have been announced, but I feel like the expo show floor is going to have a ton right. of stuff going on too.
Yeah, that's what I kept telling Teresa, was when we were kind of trying to figure out panels and stuff, because, I mean, we easily could have booked almost every hour of every day with a panel we were interested in, because there is a lot of different presentations and stuff that sounded really interesting. Everything, like we said, from music to movies to Broadway. There's a Broadway panel where some of the people from the Disney Broadway shows are going to be there. There's the Legends Ceremony, where people who have made really important contributions to the Disney company are going to be awarded. They're going to become Disney legends. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a real star-studded thing. There's what's the parade, the cavalcade thing that happens every day? What's that called?
The street party.
So that's kind of cool. Like Teresa said, the booths, there's talent area. I mean, there is just everything.
So the whole process. So this is our first year doing this. So we have like little to no experience doing this. So this is all very new to us. But this is the first year that they announced that they were going to do an online reservation system, because some of these panels are so incredibly popular that people would camp out overnight and wait and wait and wait just to get into.
They're still going to have people camping out.
Even in the little information thing that we got from D23 with the tickets, basically has rules for overnight queuing and what you can and cannot do if you choose to wait all night to get, you know, to save your spot in line, which is just like mind-boggling, gives me a little bit of anxiety. I'm like, oh my gosh, we have to like worry about sitting in line forever too. So I was relieved when they came out saying that you could get you could do reservations for some of these things. So some of the big panels have what they're calling stage pass. So we could get 2 stage passes per ticket per day. So theoretically, Tag and I could have gotten 2 each for different panels, because each time you get a stage pass, you can opt to bring a guest with you.
Yeah.
So we could have reserved 4 panels per day. However, as some of you that are out and check social media, or maybe some of you experience this yourself, there were a lot of hiccups and bumps in the road with the online reservation system. Long story short, it was supposed to roll out on Friday at 12
noon.
p.m.
Yep.
Pacific. We were on right as we were refreshing our page, we were ready to go. We had a computer, 2 laptops. We were like, we have this set up. We were going to do this.
Yep.
Well, it was, I don't know, 5-10 minutes after noon, and they announced, oh, we're having some issue, so we're pushing it back to now it's going to be 1 o'clock. So we sat and waited. Well, then a little bit after 1, they announced, well, okay, actually it's going to be tomorrow. So the time is near. We are all logged in on Saturday, and unfortunately, only half of our tickets actually work. So for whatever reason, thankfully, one of our 3-day passes worked. So Tag and I did get into all of our top pick panels, which was huge. I'm so thankful that we got that. And then the single day passes, only 2 of our single day passes worked. So thankfully, we do have reservations for almost everything that we want to do for everybody. There's just 1 panel on Sunday that we were only able to get 2 spots reserved, and we needed 5. So we'll have to kind of figure that out. But I think it'll be great, because like we said, there's so much to do. So just to kind of give an overview of what we're looking for and what we're going to try and experience while we're there. Friday, I don't know why, but I'm really excited about checking out the Legends Ceremony.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I'm a little anxious about it because I think this is probably one that people camp out forever and ever and ever to try and get in. We do have reservations, though, so I'm not sure how early we need to get there.
Sure.
The ceremony does start at 10:30. We have to be there at least an hour ahead of time because of our reservations. But that one's going to be fun because there's going to be stars like Christina Aguilera, Robert Downey Jr.,
Bette Midler.
There are some Imagineers that are going to be there. Just
James Earl Jones.
Yes, James Earl Jones.
If Bette Midler sings Put a Spell on You,
I'm just going to fall over. Right there. Just done.
The rest of the reservations for the week and everything won't even matter because I'll be dead on the floor.
So we're very, very excited about that. The other thing that we have going on Friday is we're going to go check out the Behind the Art of Disney Costuming panel.
That should be cool.
There's an exhibit that the Walt Disney Archives has put together that is going to be available to see on the show floor, but it is all sorts of Disney live action film costumes. Anything from the Cinderella ball gown from the live action movie a few years back to things with the live action Aladdin. The Sanderson sister costumes are going to be on display too.
That's very, gonna be
very,
so exciting.
Very excited about that.
Can I just say
very, very cool
that I was very excited for all of the archive stuff that was announced because the archives span the history of the company.
Yeah.
There could be original Mickey Mouse drawings by Walt himself there at the expo. Mm-hmm. That would be amazing. Mm-hmm. And of course, like you just said, the Sanderson sisters dress, like that's going to be amazing. Like there's just going to be so many things that I think that I'm not even thinking are going to be there, or even stuff we've talked about. We've talked about so much stuff with
there's just so much.
Like I will still be surprised even if we talked about it, because we've talked about so much stuff. Like I have forgotten more than I've remembered about it probably.
Oh, I'm sure. The other thing that we're really, really, really excited to check out that I didn't even know was a thing until recently is Pixar and Walt Disney Animation Studios has a dedicated space on the show floor, and they're going to be doing live demonstrations with animators.
Oh, that's cool.
So there's an ink and paint team live demo is how I have it notated. We're nerds about this. We have our own spreadsheet of what's all going on that we want to try and make sure we check out. But that's so cool to be able to like see Disney and Pixar animators like doing their thing and showing. I just think that's so, so cool. And that's something that's on the expo floor. So that's not something that you have to have a reservation to go see, or you're not going to have to wait in hour long lines, I don't think, to go see that. That is going to be going on throughout the weekend, which is very, very cool. On a sad note, the like number one thing that I tried to sign us up for did fill out, I'm sure instantly, because Tony Baxter is going to be at the expo, you guys, and he's doing a meet and greet for those that were able to get reservations.
I had a heart attack. I said, Teresa.
And it was, they announced it late because he told me this, and I said, Tag, I know he's going to be at this one panel, but I don't think he's doing anything other than that. And then he sent me a screenshot of it. I'm like, oh my gosh, they just announced that.
Can I just say, I will be happy if I just see him.
Well,
at
you
some
will.
Point.
You will, because he's going to be in one of the panels that we've signed up
okay,
for.
Okay, good. I just want to be in the same room as Tony Baxter. For those of you who may or may not, I mean, I'm sure that most of you know, but in case you don't, Tony Baxter is behind such awesome things in the park like Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Splash Mountain.
So like he's done a lot of attractions that are like classics now.
Yes.
Tony Baxter, Disney legend, totally deserving. He's done so much for things. I just love Tony Baxter. So couldn't get into him. I just want to see him. We do have a panel with him. So does that kind of round out Friday for us anyway?
For the most part. The other cool thing too that I don't think we were able to sign up for, but we're going to try and see if we can get in on it, is Bill Rogers, a.k.a. the voice of Disneyland.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Is going to be there. And he, for some lucky guests, will record your voicemail for you. I think that is
stinking
cool.
So he's there every day, and I was reading the info about this. So if you are one of the first 60 guests to him, each of the times, he'll record your voicemail. But it's limited to 60.
Very, very cool.
I don't even know, like,
how much do you think his voice is worth?
Oh,
like,
a lot.
That's just, wow.
Well, think about this, how unique this is, because I'm pretty sure that he's under some type of contract where he can't do voice work for anybody else.
Yeah.
So the fact that he'd be your voicemail message is pretty dang cool.
Exactly. Very, very cool. So those are kind of the highlights of what we have planned right now for Friday. So moving on to Saturday, this was like our number one must do. We went back and forth on some of the panels because there were a lot of really cool things going on at the same time. But our number one must do is going on Saturday, middle of the day. It is the Haunted Mansion celebrating 50 years panel.
I'll be honest, like, I'm excited for this, but I knew that this was this was your must do, and I like the Haunted Mansion too, so I was like, yeah, we should definitely do this.
We went back and forth. We kind of rolled the dice. We'll find out later this week if we made the correct choice or not, because during the same time as the Haunted Mansion panel is the Secret Walt Disney Company project. So we don't know what that panel's about. No. It's a secret. They are going to announce it later this week.
Yep.
I believe on Thursday, the 22nd,
right,
that they're going to announce what that panel is actually about. So we're still, I'm kind of iffy if we made the correct choice or not, even though, yes, it's the Haunted Mansion.
No, no, love. The Haunted Mansion's always the right choice.
Well, we did decide we are going to a park-related panel on Sunday. So if the secret company project is parks related, we're certain to hear about it at that panel too. So we justified our choice.
Sure.
But later that afternoon, we are also signed up for the Immersive Worlds, bringing stories to life in Disney parks. That one sounds very, very interesting to me. That's going to be with all sorts of Imagineers talking about basically creating the different areas and the different lands and feels of the park.
Now, that one was a struggle for us because at the same time that one is going on, there was another one that I thought, at first glance, I didn't think maybe was going to be that exciting, and then I started reading more about it, and that's the Disney on Broadway, a 25th anniversary celebration, and the cool thing with that is that they're going to have actual people from the Broadway shows there, and they're going to do little segments from a bunch of different ones.
Yep, there's going to be all sorts of performances. Yeah. Very cool.
Why do they have to put so many good things at the same time?
They do that on purpose, I'm sure. Then also at the same time was Ken Anderson's Haunted Mansion. So that was more Haunted Mansion history. And Ken Anderson kind of had a lot to do with the original concept of the mansion.
Ugh.
So, so cool.
Did we have something for that morning too?
That would be our pennant giveaway. So Saturday morning, we kind of left open on purpose. There were a couple of panels that we were thinking about signing up for, but we decided that we need to block off some time to really get to experience
the show floor
because there's just going to be so, so much going on the show floor. So Saturday, kind of mid-Friday, we've got time blocked off for that. And then also Saturday morning, we've got time blocked off.
I feel like we're still not going to see it all.
No.
You know what I'm interested
in? I'm so anxious and overwhelmed, and we're not even yet.
You know what I think that's going to be interesting? So we've talked numerous times on the show about how you are in the park of like squirrel, squirrel, squirrel.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this expo is going to be like a herd of squirrels running around like rabid, and you're just... I feel like your head's going to turn around like The Exorcist,
you know,
and your head's going to pop.
Is I'll just like stop and you'll be like, Teresa, we got to keep going. I'm just going to be frozen in my spot.
I'm going
to
have to get you like a wheelchair.
The other thing that we got to make sure. So we talked about the archives exhibit. There's also going to be some really cool exhibits. There's going to be a Star Wars area that they're going to have some costumes from different movies in. They're also going to have, I'm really excited about this, a Disney Plus area
that you can
go check out what Disney Plus is going to be, and you can actually like get your hands on the app and go through the library and see what's going to be available. That's going to be really cool.
Now, one thing they just announced today about that is that for any D23 member or people, so if you're a member, you'll actually be able to sign up for this after the expo, but if you're at the expo, you get the same deal. You can sign up and get basically your first year of service for 33% off. So it ends up being, I think, like between $5 and $6 a month for the service instead of like the $7 or $8 a month that it's going to end up being. So I'm excited to check that out because I think that's going to be a great deal. I am interested because they say they're going to bundle it. There's going to be options that you can bundle it with Hulu, which we already have a subscription to. So I'm wondering if there's some way that when we're there, we can talk to them, say, hey, we already have Hulu. Can we get the discount for the Disney Plus with the bundling with Hulu or not? So that'll be interesting.
How that works.
Because I don't think we want to get rid of Hulu because that's what we use for live TV and stuff now. So, That's Saturday, right?
A lot going on. Yep. And then, of course, Saturday
night
evening is our meetup, which you guys are all invited to join us. It's going to be held over at the Tongaroa Terrace, which is near by the Disneyland Hotel. So kind of downtown Disney adjacent.
Yeah.
I don't know how you
watch it. It's in the middle section of the Disneyland Hotel. So the towers are all kind of around you and it's in the middle there.
Yep. So that's going to be a ton of fun. That starts at 8 o'clock. No definite end time on that, but we do have to get to bed at some point because we're back at the expo again on Sunday with our number one, very excited. And I'm so happy that we got reservations for this because it did book up reservation wise really, really fast online. But we are going to be at the Disney Parks Experiences and Products panel. So this is the big panel that they make all sorts of cool announcements about what's going to be going on in the parks.
Like Galaxy's Edge.
I think we'll finally get a name for Marvel Land on Sunday. I do think that we're going to, even though it's not related to us, it does sound like we're going to be hearing a lot about what they're going to be doing over in Disney World with Epcot and what they're changing things up over there. So
I wonder what we'll hear about with Toontown changes with Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway coming.
I'm wondering if we're going to hear Toontown changes. And now that we're getting rid of some rock work over in Tomorrowland, I'm wondering if there's going to be a big announcement about the future of Tomorrowland as well.
Now, this is only an hour and a half?
Yes. They got a lot of stuff to cover for me in an hour and a half.
That's what I'm saying. They're
Hour and a half. So it's going to be, hopefully it's going to be filled with lots and lots of things and not just one or two things that they're going to talk about for a while.
And of course, Bob Iger will be there. That's exciting.
Yes, Bob Iger will also be there. And then later on Sunday afternoon, this one is Tag's chance to be in the same room as Mr. Tony Baxter. We're going to be going to the Art of Disney Storytelling. But yes, that's going to be with Imagineers, including Tony Baxter. I think John Stamos is actually going to be emceeing hosting this panel as
This will be cool because it sounds like it's basically going to be Imagineers and stuff talking about how they come up with ideas for things. And like from somebody like Tony Baxter, who's come up with so much cool stuff.
And then the final thing, if we still have energy, which I'm sure we're going to power through, is the Disney Archive stage is going to be doing a panel about Disneyland in 59. And so that was when the
Matterhorn and the monorail and the subs.
Yep. So a panel all about the history of those things. So of course, monorail Tag is all in. And
well,
Disney history,
a great year.
I'm all into. So that one will be exciting too. And that rounds out everything that we've got planned that we're hoping to, like, this is kind of our very loose outline for our weekend.
Now, I feel like after going through all this and explaining it all to our listeners, I feel like Sunday night comes, we're going to be exhausted. And then we have the whole week at Disneyland still.
Oh, we will definitely, I'm sure the second wind will come very easily.
You know what's going to happen? We're going to be so pumped being at the park that by the time the next Saturday comes when we have to like get out of the hotel and go on the airplane back home,
going to sleep the whole way home.
And then the whole weekend and maybe the next week. Because I feel like we've got a lot going on. It's going to be very exciting. I think we're both going to be like, Disney's going to be our caffeine. Like, we're going to be so excited, but I feel like we're going to also be very tired at the end of it. But I think it's going to be an amazing experience. And
definitely.
We look forward to meeting as many of you as possible. And hopefully we meet some of you guys actually at the expo. Mm-hmm. So, and maybe if some of you guys see some of these other panels that we don't have a chance to see,
we'd
love to talk to you and maybe get a small interview with you for the show as well. So yeah,
we're going to try, when we're there, we're going to try and get out as much information to you guys as we can about what we're doing, kind of give you little updates. Again, just a reminder, if you've been thinking about it, this is your last week. Last couple of days. Gosh, it's
right.
I remember planning this and it was forever, like a year ago when we first started planning this trip. It's so hard to believe that it's already this weekend. But anyways, if you have not become a supporter or one of our patrons yet, we are going to be doing all sorts of extra bonus extended content for patrons only. We are going to also have little updates and like we're going to do some streams, that sort of thing, on our regular public social media as well. So if you want to kind of try and follow our trip, we will be posting and kind of letting you guys see what we're up to and what our thoughts are and what, I don't know, what to track, what Tay thought of Frozen, all that kind of stuff. So so if you're interested, you are more than welcome to try, you know, to kind of follow along our Disneyland journey and D23 experience with us.
Absolutely. So I think it's going to be a great week. And one of the things I'm excited for, like I said, meeting some of you guys.
Oh, yes.
Because I feel like a lot of you, between emails and being in the chat and everything, I feel like we've gotten to know some of you guys really well, and I'm excited to kind of put faces and reality to, like, what we know of online. So that's going to be really exciting for that. So,
well, we like to brag. We think we have the best listeners out there. So we're very excited to meet you guys. And we do have some special pins I know that we've talked about that they say official weekly tier on them. So if you do meet us when we're out at the parks or at the meetup or even at the expo, we'll have these pins with us. So come say hi. We'll give you guys your official weekly tier pin so you can show off your DL weekly-ness with pride.
Well, we're working on some cool episodes for the future, and we'd like to have you be part of it. We have a couple of questions we'd like to hear your answers to. If you want to help us out, give us a call at area code 657-345-4445 with the answer to the question, what is it about Disneyland that keeps you coming back over and over again? And or what are your tips or strategies for when you go to the parks during the year?
Well, we really hope that you guys enjoyed listening to this episode of DL Weekly. Remember, you can support the show for as little as 25 cents an episode. If you'd like access to our supporter chat, it's only 75 cents an episode. So please consider joining supporters like Jason M and head over to dlweekly.net/support. Now it's time to return to Vern over in Trivia Land to get the answers to this week's trivia.
Oh, here we go. Find out how we did.
All right. So for question number one, what area of Disneyland was officially annexed and recognized by the Missouri State Legislature in 1956? And it was Tom Sawyer Island.
And that's what I said, right?
We got it right. We both said Tom Sawyer Island.
Woo! For once.
The second question, what do the things have in common? False teeth, prosthetic limb, glass eye, toupees, waterbed, canary, are all things that have actually been found in the Disneyland Lost and Found.
Oh my gosh. Waterbed?
That's what I was saying.
Which is why I chose this question, the waterbed and the canary.
Oh yeah, the canary. That's why we were probably thinking Pirates, the canary. A live canary?
it doesn't say. It just says that it was a canary.
A water... Like, who's bringing a waterbed to Disneyland and then losing it?
Excuse me. Have you seen my waterbed and canary?
It's not for the same person. It's just one person brings... I can see you bringing in all these random things and you're like, let's just screw with somebody. It's like that game that's online of like, what three things can you buy to freak the cashier out at Walmart or whatever?
Okay. Question number three regarding King Arthur's Carousel and the horses. In the beginning, there was only one white one. It proved to be so popular that now all the horses are white.
Good job,
but they are
Tay.
Different painting in the details.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I thought I'd read that somewhere at some point. So what are we? I'm at two. Because what did you say?
2-1. I said I didn't think that they were all white. I thought that there was maybe like a light tan and a light gray. I thought there was slight variations.
Sure.
All right, and the fourth and final question. Though certainly well-known, Mickey Mouse is not the most recognizable character in the world. He ranks third after Santa Claus and Ronald McDonald.
Ronald McDonald!
In the world?
According to the book.
Wow. I'm actually surprised that Santa Claus beat Mickey.
Well, Santa Claus is like part of culture in so many places around the world. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's been around for so much longer than, like, Mickey Mouse. You know what I mean? So I think it's hard in some areas for Mickey Mouse to, like, infiltrate.
And he's a revamp of so many different cultures, too. Because there's, you know, the St. Nicholas. And, I mean, so many different cultures have their angel of gift giving that comes around at Christmas time. So to just put the red suit on that person and start calling it Santa Claus crosses a lot of cultural boundaries.
Also, I'm a little sad that Ronald McDonald is number one.
That's corporate America.
Well, thank you, Vern, for stepping in this week and doing the trivia. And
thanks for having me back.
Listeners will probably be hearing from Vern more because I'm sure that Vern will be part of some of our stuff that we're going to put out for D23. And our trip to the park.
And if you have any trivia that you would like to send to James or me to try to stump Tag and Teresa, send an email to trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we'll be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks. Because we will.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.